shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.
The Herald of Truth broadcast is on the air, a program of spirit and truth dedicated to teaching the way of God more perfectly. These broadcasts contain keys to help unlock knowledge and reveal hidden truths of the Bible in these last days. Christians called to a higher level of understanding will be given Bible-based solutions to their personal as well as national problems. They will want to find out more about their part in God's plan. Our mailing address is Kingdom Identity Ministries, Post Office Box 1021, Harrison, Arkansas, 72602, and will be given again at the end of this broadcast.
Good evening. This is Brother Mike welcoming you to another one of our first of the month Kingdom Concepts broadcasts. In fact, this is a very special broadcast indeed, because tonight marks the 20th year that we've been on the radio, not with the live broadcast, but with our Herald of Truth broadcast. And so we're starting our 21st year tonight. We're being heard tonight over WWCR 4.840 megahertz and 5.890 megahertz as transmitters 3 and 4, and WBCQ 7.490 megahertz, and both of those stations have a direct feed on the internet, a live feed, I should say. We have a direct feed from our Nashville studio. If you'll go to our website, KingIdentity.com, KingIdentity.com. Go to the radio page, go down to the bottom, and you'll see a black box that has some links for our monthly Kingdom Concepts broadcast, Winamp, Windows Media, Real Player, etc. And you can get your best feed from there if you listen on the internet. If you'd like to participate in tonight's broadcast, you can call the toll-free number 877-924-7722. I'll repeat that, 877-924-7722, 877-YAWS-RACE. Before I introduce our guest tonight, I'd like to give you a little bit of a background on Kingdom Identity Ministries. I founded this ministry in 1982. That was a time when there were many problems, at least being smeared by the public media identity, the Israel identity message was, and some ministers compromised the word. They were not doctrinally sound. Others compromised ethically, where they were taking money for their own profit, etc. And I decided that while they were running from the name identity, saying, oh, I'm not identity, oh, I'm not identity, that I would name it the ministry Kingdom Identity Ministries. Kingdom, of course, indicating government, the government of Yahweh our God, and identity identifying us as the true Israel of the Bible. My purpose was to establish the most doctrinally sound ethical ministry anywhere. You know, I've tried to remain true to that purpose. When I started, all I had was a manual typewriter. Every letter that was written by me. I had no secretary, no computer, no tape duplicators or CDs or anything else. I just had a manual typewriter and carbon paper back then. As I mentioned a minute ago, June 1st of 1992, we started our Herald of Truth broadcast. At that time, it was a 15-minute daily broadcast and a half-hour weekend broadcast. In 1993, the American Institute of Theology, founded in California in 1965, the board members flew me to California and asked that this ministry be the successor ministry for the American Institute of Theology, which is the only thorough Bible correspondence course teaching this message. In 1998, the Your Heritage Ministry did the same thing, flew me to California. That's the ministry of the late Pastor Bertrand L. Compre, who founded the ministry in the 1950s, and they chose this ministry to be the successor ministry for Pastor Compre's Your Heritage Ministry. In 2002, the widow of Dr. Wesley Swift, Lorraine Swift, who carried on his ministry from his death in 1970, asked if I would become the successor ministry for Church of Jesus Christ Christian, the ministry that Dr. Wesley Swift founded in the 1940s. In all three cases, the ministries asked me to continue them as a successor. I didn't ask them. I therefore consider these to be high honors and a great responsibility given to me by Yahweh our God. But before there was any formal ministry, I was first introduced to the Israel Identity Message back in 1968 by Dr. Kenneth Goff. That was while I was still attending a Church of Christ college. And I started sponsoring meetings back in about 1975 to 1976. At that time, my guest tonight was already active preaching the word, and I met him in 1976. He was the founder of the News Movement, National Emancipation of the White Seed. And I'd like to welcome back to the broadcast Pastor Buddy Tucker.
Thank you, Mike. It was a joy listening to your history and the history of your Kingdom Identity organization and your internet with Kingdom Identity and getting the message out all these years after these great men of faith, Dr. Swift and Bertrand Comparé, and those individuals have gone, but yet their message is still going out because of your efforts.
Well, I always hoped that their message after their death would be greater outreach than it was during their lifetime. Although I realize they contacted a lot of people during their lifetime. But you've contacted a lot of people too, and I'd like to hear a little bit about your background and how you came into the message.
Okay, Mike, I was raised in a Southern Baptist church, and at a point in my life, which I was probably about 20 years old, I felt like I wanted to help people. And so I transferred from the University of Tennessee, where I was a major in industrial management, which is the engineering arm of business, or it could be the business arm of engineering. So I transferred to Carson Newman College, which was a Southern Baptist college, and I started taking Bible courses and things to prepare for the ministry. I wanted to be a minister of a church and help people. And so after I'd been at Carson Newman about 6 months, I was in my home with a couple other boys that were there, and at this time, I was already married and had two children. As a matter of fact, Mike, in 3 days, I've been married 48 years. So,
congratulations. Not
anyway,
too many make it that far nowadays.
So, we were sitting in my den and we were talking, and all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit walked in. Now, I know that might sound a little strange to people, but we were just sitting there, and all of a sudden, we all just looked at each other, and it was like somebody had walked in the room, and each one of us had that same experience. Somebody has just entered the room, and from that point on, God has been leading me to do things that I didn't necessarily want to do, but he put it before me and I had to do it. And so one thing led to another, and I wound up with a church in Knoxville, Tennessee. And I was in my office one day preparing for a message, and I was on my knees with my Bible open. And I was praying and reading, and I was reading in Romans. I'd read the 8th chapter and the 9th chapter and the 10th chapter and got to the 11th chapter and the 26th verse, and my world went upside down, because that's where Paul says, "And so all Israel shall be saved." And being raised in a Southern Baptist church, I'd always been taught and believed that if you didn't accept Jesus Christ, you were not going to be saved. As a matter of fact, their doctrine is that you would go to hell forever and ever and ever. And if you were saved, then you go to heaven forever, ever, and ever. Well, that verse, it just hit me and like somebody hit me with a baseball bat. Because how could all Israel be saved? And he uses the word all. He didn't say some. He didn't say those that believe or those that accept Jesus. He said, and so all Israel shall be saved. And I thought, these Jews that hate him, these Jews that will never profess belief in Jesus Christ nor accept him, and they all get a card, free pass, don't go to jail. And from that point on, God began to show me his word and his truth. And after a month or two of really agonizing over this, he showed me through his word that the Jews that we call Jews today are not Israel, have never been Israel, and as a matter of fact are the very offspring of Satan through Cain, and they're all descended from the Canaanites. And even those that were descendants of Abraham were the direct offspring of Abraham's grandson, Esau. They are not God's chosen people, Israel, have never been God's chosen people, Israel, and are a race of devils. Now, that I taught to my people. And as I began teaching them from the scriptures, the truth that God had revealed to me, I felt like at that time, which was back in 1969, that I was the only one that knew the truth about who we were. The white Anglo-Saxon Western man was the Israel of God, the chosen people of God, and that the Jews were the children of Satan. So from that point on, God revealed a lot of other truths from his scriptures, that we were his children in the heavens before we ever came into earth, and that we are his racial children here that carry within us that divine spirit that God communicates with, just like Paul said in Romans 8:16, the Spirit beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And because we are the children of God, he works his spirit in that divine spirit of his that dwells in us and brings us into the maturity of the sons of God. And the whole creation, as Paul says in Romans 8, groans and travails in agony and pain until we're manifested, until the children of God become the mature sons of God and demonstrate God's power in the earth. And we are his channel through which he will bring forth his kingdom into the earth. And that's our prayer daily, as Jesus taught us. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven.
And then that's right. A lot of people, when they start a ministry, they think it's just putting on programs. It's not to put on programs, little entertainment for the people. It's to bring in the kingdom of Yahweh, do our part to bring in the kingdom of Yahweh. In each one of us, those in the audience, we, before any formal ministry, have our own personal ministries to tell it, tell it, tell it, as Dr. Swift used to say.
Well, you can understand these Southern Baptist people that were in the church that I was the pastor of, they were shocked at the truth of the scripture, and yet they were able to receive this truth and knowledge. And from 1970 till 1977, we had people that heard about my ministry there because we had a big sign out on the front of our church that was 8 foot by 12 foot, and it was up off the ground about another 8 foot, and it was on the main street through Knoxville. So 50,000 people a day went by our church and read this message that I would put up about we're God's chosen people, and the Jews are the synagogue of Satan, and they're devils and everything else. And I would put scriptural messages up on that sign. Of course, they were continually bashing on me in the newspapers and on television. But yet, the message got out, and I soon learned in 1971 that there were other men in America that God had revealed this same truth to. And there was a group of them that were getting together out in Phoenix, Arizona, so I flew out there and met some of them, and one of them was Pastor Sheldon Emery and Robert Record. And from there I met, after I came back home, I found out about Bertrand Comparay out in San Diego and began to correspond with him. And went out and visited him and his sweet wife, Anna's. And that was a wonderful trip for my wife and I. And here I am, a very young man at that time, and these older men were not ashamed to sit down and be cordial and kind and share the scriptures with me. And I shared what God had showed me with them, and it was a wonderful event. Now, I never got to meet Dr. Swift because he died in 1970, and I didn't meet these other individuals till the mid-70s. And in our church, we would have a big conference and invite people from around the United States, like Dr. Lovell and J.B. Stoner and Ed Fields and Byron Beckwith and Alice Wheeler, who was a great herbalist, and Dr. John Andrews, that was a medical doctor, and you know, it was a wonderful time. And then I met you, I believe, in 1976 when we were on the road bringing the message, and at that time had organized the news party. And I was traveling around and got to meet you at that time.
Yeah, I met you in 76, and I sponsored a couple meetings there in Hot Springs. And people may not realize, we're talking about doctrine, but they may not realize just how much we've been discriminated against over the years, often not just by the Jews, but by these kosher conservative type ministers and kosher conservative political types. I know that in Hot Springs, one of the things we did was show the movie Birth of a Nation, the 1915 movie, and we, at least we intended to show it in different halls around the city, you know, there. And every time the Jews would go behind us and cancel out the meeting hall. And finally, I got a paid-for contract down at the Civic Center, and the head of the Chamber of Commerce called me up and cussed me out and stuff like that and said they were going to lock the building, but I had a paid-for contract. And as you remember, you had your RV, and we were locked out and showed the movie on the side of the stucco wall out there and had quite a crowd from the town, sort of in drive-in theater style around there. And the police showed up, and actually the police were on our side. I showed them the contract. And I went around and sued the city for not letting us in with a paid-for contract. And it came the day of the court case, and they called me up and said, "Oh, there's not going to be a trial today because the prosecuting attorney who was taking the city side, his mother's on her deathbed." And I went and called the hospital and said, "Is Mrs. So-and-so there?" And they said, "Yeah, do you want to talk to her?" I mean, it was just a lie. It's just one maneuver after another through the years. We've been kicked off of radio stations, had our advertising canceled, every type of discrimination you can think of over the years. And I'm sure you've experienced the same thing, including persecution there in prison.
Yeah, the government decided they had to shut me up, so they began to prosecute me on failure to file a tax return. And so, anyway, one thing led to another, and they told me that if you just quit going around the country saying the things you've been saying and doing all that you've been doing, we'll just let all this go away and you won't have to go to jail. And I told them, I said, you do what you've got to do and I'll do what I've got to do. So, as you know, they finally wound up throwing me in jail on two different occasions, and both occasions was illegal. And the first one, I finally got it all proved it was illegal, and they had to let me out. And then the next time, by the time I got going into a court on a writ of habeas corpus, I'd already done the time. And so the whole thing failed because it was moot after that point. And then I tried to sue them all, and of course they all claimed they had official immunity because they were just carrying out the scope of their duties. And I went to the Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals and argued my case there, and I told those three judges that if we didn't have a right to redress our grievances in a court of law according to the First Amendment of the Constitution, then the Second Amendment comes into play, which is the right of the people to keep and bear arms. And I said, our grievances will then be redressed in the streets when this corrupted court system's no longer able to redress our grievances. And I said, blood's going to flow, and it's going to be your all's blood that's going to flow. And all these legal proceedings, I never had a lawyer. I always represented myself. And, of course, lawyers will tell you, you got a fool for a client. What you've got is an individual that's not a servant of the court and will stand up and speak the truth of God's word to all them Jews that are the government-appointed federal judges today. If they're not Jews, they're some other mixed bag of non-white Israelites. I mean, there are all these other races. And it's just like Washington, D.C. You go up there, walk down the street, and go into any building you want to go into, and it is a bastion of Jews and non-whites. And that's where our government is today. It is being run and controlled by this satanic bunch through their mongrelized hordes.
We've got our share of our own race who are twofold the child of hell that have bowed down and serving their Jew masters.
Right.
I got an email not long ago listing all the Jew advisors to Romney, and that could be said about any of the candidates.
Well, the thing about it is everybody carries on like that guy up there now, that Obama, that's turned our nation into an abomination. They act like he's half black and half white. He's black and he's Jew, and that's what his mother was, and her ancestry were all Jews, and he's not half black and half white, he's half black and half Jew, so that tells you who's promoting him, to bring forth the confiscation of all the wealth of the white people and to destroy every hope of freedom that our people came to this country to establish. The American dream was not to come here and get wealth or money. Our forefathers came here for freedom. It was freedom to worship Jesus Christ, and they set it out in the Mayflower Compact when they said they made their voyage for the glory of God and the advancement of the Christian faith. Now, this is the message that has to go forth. And if these Jews don't like it, Greg, they can leave. And
if they do what's natural to them, as John 8:44 says, ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts or the desires of your father ye will do. They do.
Right.
In fact, I think they're more faithful in serving their father than our people are in serving our father. As you mentioned earlier, we need that anointing of the Holy Spirit to serve our father, to be directed by him. We got to do what we need to do.
Well, we're perfected by the very things that we suffer. And that perfection is what grows us up. And as Paul said in Romans 8:28, all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose, for whom he did foreknow. He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. That's where we're headed. We're headed into that transformation of being in the very image of Christ, being men that can stand up and speak the word of God, whether it's making a whip and driving them out of the temple or standing there and telling them you are of your father, the devil, or going into the temple and saying, you serpents, you generation of vipers, you'll not escape the damnation of hell, because all the righteous blood shed upon the earth from Cain to the day, you're guilty of. So this is the message. And when I was young, back in the mid-70s, I was fortunate enough to meet Bertrand Comparé and also Gerald L. K. Smith. And these men, they weren't ashamed to stand up and give the truth. And, of course, they brought all the animosity of the Jew power down upon them through their media and through their money, through their complete control of our society. And so today, they're still hated, just like Dr. Swift is hated today. Even though he died in 1970, these Jews are still running scared of that message that he put out back then. So
these men were Christian gentlemen, and
right,
their purpose was to advance the faith. And I've seen so many times preachers who just want to stand up and basically put themselves on display and bring the glory to themselves. But a true minister of Yahweh doesn't do that. He's there as a servant to advance the kingdom.
Well, when I went to jail in 1977, of course, everybody, you know, all those that professed to be my friends, they kind of run away from me because they were scared. And they're still scared today. I mean, our people are. They still are afraid. They want to run somewhere and hide. And when I got out in 1977, of course, they burnt the church down. They figured every way in the world to try to stop me, and they proceeded on some sort of malicious campaign of these identity people of spreading the word that when I was in jail, of course, the government, they gave me lobotomies, and they did all kinds of mind-altering things, and some of them even said that they had killed me and replace me with a double. Anyway, that's how these people that are full of fear always react in the time of persecution. And, of course, there were individuals that wanted to take over the news movement and one thing after another, and it's always funny. They think they can take over something that is built upon a message that an individual gives, and they're not that individual. Whether it was after Swift's death and people run around trying to take over his ministry or Comparé or probably many people that I don't know that you do know of, and you're the only one that I've known that's still alive that didn't try to destroy me in the process. But
as a matter of fact, I visited you while you were in prison.
Yeah. And you know how many others did? All in my family. And I mean, my mother came and visited once, and my wife's mother and daddy came and visited once. And of course, my wife, she remained steadfast and God, she was a God-given spirit that had strength of purpose the whole time I was in jail, and the word kept going out through her. We were supported by people we had never known, had never heard of, had never met, and my own family. mother, father, sister. I mean, my own immediate family never sent us a nickel. And the church, they just kind of all fell away when I went off. And, of course, I didn't receive any income from them, never did anyway. But anyway, the support came out of areas and from individuals that we had never met. So God has taken care of us from day one, from 1968, when the Holy Spirit walked in and spoke to me. He has provided an abundance for us.
And well, there's something else that I've realized over the years. I was a patriot, you know, on, at least on a low level, back in my high school days, you know, in the political realm. And I thought if you just lay something out in front of somebody, they're automatically going to accept the truth, you know. It's kind of naive then. And the same thing, you know, in the biblical truth. But that's not the way it is. It's only the elect, only those who have ears to hear and eyes to see. The church world goes after the masses. They water down the message. Their purpose is, I think, just to get the shekels from the crowd and just have a big crowd and that worships the preacher.
Right.
But it's not that way. Eventually, all the dry bones of Israel are going to wake up. But the elect are the only ones who are going to hear now, those who Yahweh has opened their eyes.
Right. They're the first fruits that Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians 15. And they're the first fruits that Paul also talks about in Romans 8. We groan in travail and pain and agony until, you know, even we do.
But oh, yeah, I look back, you know, some of these people disfellowship them. I don't do that, but I had to disfellowship myself back in my Baptist and Church of Christ days, you know, because I didn't know too much back then.
Right.
But I wonder now how I didn't see. I mean, these evil Jews, the Antichrist, they're, you name anything evil. I don't care whether it's the pornography or the Federal Reserve System or, you know, just cheating you in general, or distortion in anything, distortion in art, distortion in music, you name it, and there's always a Jew back behind it, and they call them God's chosen people, and how I didn't see that they were a counterfeit back then, I don't know, you know. I even knew at one time that they were Khazars in their lineage, but I never put the next step together that we were the true Israel, and then, of course, later I learned about their satanic seed line. But
right.
Step at a time, line by line.
Right. Well, it's God leads us day by day, and where we are today is further along than where we were yesterday. And so, you know, as you read and pray, you can read a passage in the Bible, and you know you've read it 100 times before. And yet it just comes alive, and it just quickens your spirit, and you see things all of a sudden you never saw before. Well, that's because you weren't ready to see them before. It's an educational process. You don't take a first grader that doesn't even know how to add and subtract and teach them calculus. God doesn't do that with us. He loves us, and he teaches us day by day. And he has our lesson plan for us. And it's a unique lesson plan for each of us. So the things I go through aren't the things that you have to go through. Those things I go through are for my benefit. They are to teach me and bring me into that knowledge of Christ, to glorify him and to be that channel that God will use to bring forth his kingdom into this earth. That's our purpose.
True.
That's
of course, a witness will often reach the ears of somebody else whose time has come to hear. I mean, I hope that our doctrinal statement has some biblical truths that people haven't seen before and has opened their eyes. I know that when I first put it together, I didn't even have an intention to put the doctrinal statement together, and I just felt the Spirit on me saying, you got to put a doctrinal statement together. And unbeknownst to me, at the same time, there was a group that was putting together supposedly an identity doctrinal statement, but it would have been a real wimpy, watered-down one. And like I said, I didn't know about it until after I had already compiled the statement. And eventually, I put our statement out, which has been copied widely and sometimes changed slightly by other groups and used, and pretty much has become the identifying statement of what identity is all about. And I think it's been used to a good purpose for that. But you just have to do things without your own understanding as the Spirit leads.
Right. Well, about 5 years ago, God laid on my heart just to see who was left. And so I got out on the web and started searching around, and I ran across your website. And so I contacted you, and we got to talking, and I was just asking you about the various people, and you'd tell me, no, that one's died, and this other one's died. And so I thought, boy, it seems like everybody I knew, they've gone. And
well, some of them have watered down the message. I don't want to name names or anything, but out of fear, you know, they're not taking the stand that they have in the past, and then there are some that have involved themselves in church gimmickry is what I would call it.
Yeah.
And that's disappointing. I expect the Jews to act like Jews, but when a person has been given this message, I don't expect them to sell out for either profit or just water down the word out of fear. Some of the people, they think that the ministry is a money-making business, and they're peddling their different gimmicks and secular products, and they got these postage and handling and all that, you know, which is something we appreciate if somebody donates towards postage. But putting these charges on just makes it a business, not a ministry.
Well,
you have these people that they're just playing church and showmanship, preacher worship, egotism,
the Bible says,
world.
Though, Mike, that, a workman's worthy is hire. So people need to donate to your ministry.
I appreciate that. I don't get my money elsewhere, so I don't take money from the ministry, but there's certainly ministry expenses, I'll say that.
Right.
Over the years. In fact, that's one of the reasons that I think that not only Yahweh saw fit to put the ministry in my hands, but that the ministry has grown is because every penny goes back into the ministry and not into my pocket.
Well, I've been really blessed by God that I have not had to ask nor have received money from other people. I feel a little like Paul. I wasn't a tent maker, but I was able to earn a living. And so what I have, no one can rise up and say, yeah, he took that money from so-and-so or this, that, and the other. And back 5 years ago when I got to looking around and found you and that you were still active and going, I knew that Gerald L.K. Smith had died. He died in 76. And anyway, I looked around and there was nothing for him. And I thought back then, I need to build a website, learn how to build a website. So about 3 years ago, I started reading books and trying to figure out how to build a website and put something up on the internet. And so I built two websites, and I built one in memory of him. And it's a website. It's called The Cross and the Flag, and you can also, it's thecrossandflag.com, and you can also get there by GeraldLKSmith.com. But, people like that need to be recognized even today. Something needs to honor the walk that they walked and the talk that they talked in the face of death, in the face of the whole world attacking them constantly, and Dr. Swift, you're doing the things to get his message out. And Bertrand Comparé, two men of greatness that God used and is still using.
Yeah, these were men who I think are comparable to some of the great men in history, the Martin Luther, the great reformer, or Tyndale, and some of the others that were burned at the stake for bringing forth the word.
Until
in our age, it certainly is. It's not one of these churchianity ministries, the Oral Roberts and the Jerry Falwells and the, you know, some of the rest of them. I don't even recognize all their names.
Until a few years ago, I had never heard a message from Dr. Swift and would never have been able to hear one except for your website. And I went on there and started listening to different messages from Swift and Comparé and other individuals that you've had on there that have been a blessing to me. In the last year and a half, about a year ago, a little over a year ago, I put up a website where I published all the things that I did back in the 70s and the things that God revealed to me in the 80s and the 90s and 2000 and even today. And anybody that wants to go there, all you got to do is go to truthfromgod.com. And there's audio messages of things that I've broadcast and of things that I'm doing now. There's written messages and Bible studies. And you can go and study and read and get your Bible out. And if it's time for you to see, you will see. But the message is going out, and that's all God's called me to do in my life, is to proclaim His Word, what He says, not what somebody says about it. And, of course, what is called Christianity today is run by the Jews because they're preaching the doctrine of Satan, and it's nothing more than that beast that comes up out of the earth in Revelation that looked like a lamb and spoke like a dragon. And it had two horns. And they're Catholicism and Protestantism. And you'll not find the message of God in anything called the church today or anything called the Christian religion. It's all the satanic lies, whether they're teaching evolution by saying Adam and Eve were the first two people on earth, or whether they're teaching that Jesus was a Jew and the Jews are God's chosen people, or whether they're teaching that everybody's okay and the gays are all right and all these evil people, they're okay. And yet the Word of God tells you that these people were to be executed, that evil was to be put out of Israel and out of our race. But that won't be the message coming out of the church.
No, all the Protestant churches are protesting Catholic. They're teaching a false lie.
Right.
And the Jews are a counterfeit in everything. They're a counterfeit race. They had a counterfeit migration up from Mount Seir, which is where Esau was, the Bible tells us. Their own records, the Khazars, say that they came from Mount Seir. We've got the Bible, what we call the New Testament, which is a commentary on the older scriptures. They've got the Talmud, which is a counterfeit, very filthy commentary on at least the first five books of the Bible. And we have the 12 tribes of Israel. They have 12 Canaanite tribes. Just in every area, they're counterfeits, you know, don't know why it doesn't dawn on the people.
You know, and Paul says that it's no mystery, it's no marvel that because Satan himself has transformed himself into the angel of light and the minister of Christ, and you know, all his children are pretending that. So he exposed them. He uses the name Jew. John, even not just in the epistle that he wrote, or the gospel, and then his epistles, tells you these Jews are the Antichrist, and yet these premillennial fundamental rapture Baptist heresy, all they want to talk about is there's going to be an Antichrist one day. Man, John said in 1 John, even now there are many. You've been told that it would come. He said, I won't put you all up to date. They're here and they're now and they're in abundance.
Yeah, and it's a plural word, then, not a singular.
Right. Okay, they are race. If you want to put it a singular, the Antichrist is a race. And they're these Canaanite, these seed of the serpent Jews that are in control of every element of our society, not only in America, But throughout all the world, they dominate the world through their money schemes and their International Monetary Fund and all the rest of it.
And that's all the politicians.
But
the ones I'm really disappointed with are those who know the message and then they water it down. We have some people who they're actually teaching kind of a raceless identity message. You can't do it. You can't teach it without race.
Race is the issue, and it's the issue from Genesis to Revelation.
When I first came into this message, it was a very positive, spirit-filled message. We are Yahweh's children. He's going to give us the victory. And today, a lot of them are hiding in fear and afraid to preach the word, lest some Jew or some politician or just friends, you know. So many people are intimidated by their circle of friends. They're afraid to speak out and tell the truth.
And that's fine. All they're doing is saying, I'm not worthy. You know, all God wants to do is teach us who we are and what we're capable of. And I know who I am. I'm a man, and I'm capable of the worst things that ever was. Just like Paul said in Romans 7, oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of corruption? You know, this is what we are. But yet, through the love and mercy of the Father, He touches us, He quickens us, He makes us alive, and brings us forth to be the channel, to bring His Word, His truth, and to stand for it. Not run and hide somewhere in a cave and claim, oh, there ain't none left but me. Woe unto me, they're going to get me, they're going to cut my head off. No, God causes us to stand where
I know, like I said, over the years, a man's got to do what a man's got to do, and there's certainly been persecution by some people who call themselves believer, a lot of these kosher conservative types, and of course the Jews themselves. But we've been here, well, like I said, we're on our 21st year now of broadcasting, and long before that with other witnessing through books, tracts, and so on. I know that probably there's those in the audience who have not heard this message before, and we invite you to write Kingdom Identity Ministries, P.O. Box 1021, Harrison, Arkansas, 72602. Go to our website, www.kingidentity.com, K-I-N-G. IDENTITY.com, or perhaps you'd like to call tonight. We've got a toll-free number, 877-924-7722. We can take several calls on the time left. And I know that sometimes when you first come into the message, things seem contradictory or new or shocking, and we'd be happy to try to answer any questions that you may have.
Well,
you want to give contact information, buddy, your website?
Yeah, you can go on our website, truthfromgod.com, and you can start reading. You can start learning. You know, disprove the truth. Disprove this message. Just take and dust off that old King James and get it off the shelf. Open it up, and God will give you light. But if you just want to stumble along in hope and fear, and that's all that motivates our people today, is they're just hoping, you know, that something bad don't happen to them. Oh, I hope I don't lose my house. I hope I don't lose my job. I hope. It's all hope and fear that I don't get cancer, that, you know, all this stuff. And that isn't what we're put here for. Seek you first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all this other be given to you. We're just God's white, Adamic seed race children in the earth today. This message, it will quicken your heart. It will give you the power to live free, to live in the power of His might. And that's what all this is about tonight. The 21 years of this work that Mike's been doing in broadcast, and before that with putting his website up, write him, send him a donation, get this message going forth, and it will strengthen and bless your heart and mind every day. And when we get up of a morning, we can say, thank you, Yahweh, for this day is the day you've given us. No matter
the only reason we were put here is to do our part to bring in his kingdom. It's not out here to follow sporting events or various other frivolities, as so many people think, flop in front of the TV with their can of beer. You know, that's their whole life, some of these people.
It's all an escapism, Mike. All they're doing is running away from home just like the prodigal son. But one day, people, when you're in that hog pen and you know there isn't enough left over from them hogs for you to eat and you're going to die there, at that point, when you are so low you can go no further down, God will put that spirit in you and you will come to yourself and you will know who you are, who your father is, where your home is, and how to get back there. That's the message. And each one of us go to the hog pen, I guarantee you.
Yeah. And I think we have to admit on the other side, while there's been persecution, there's been a lot of blessings. Yahweh
Amen
only gives us two things. He gives us our time, and he gives us whatever monetary money we have. And if we use our time and our money to forward his kingdom, he's going to bless us. You just can't help it.
Well, the only money God's given me is what I need today. You know, that's the blessing he's been to me. He takes care of what we need today, today. And I'm not worried about tomorrow. Tomorrow will take care of itself. Sufficiency unto the day is the evil thereof. And that verse God brought home to me many years ago. And that he has taught me that as I pray, give me this day my daily bread. We have provided for us what we need today, and that's living in faith.
Yeah, he's always been sufficient with me, but I was making quite a bit of money out there in the secular world with my Radio Shack store and all that at one time, and I turned my back on it and said I want to serve Yahweh, and
there you go.
The money hasn't been anywhere near as great, but certainly the blessings have been much greater.
Right.
And many people do send tithes here and elsewhere, you know, to other ministries that helps forward the kingdom. But I wish more would spend their time, give of their time, because Paul and all the apostles, they had their deacons and so on, you know, people that would give time and help forward the message. And there's so few today that want to do that. A lot of them want to be all chiefs and not any workers to help forward this.
The ones that God quickens, he will use. And he will bring them where they need to be to bring out this truth, this message that has been going out even today. And look at the conditions today. So,
well, first they have to give up their desire of the world. You get people that desire to serve the world, to be the doctors and the lawyers and the secretaries to them and everything out in Babylon there. They got to have their priorities straight.
Well, God didn't call us to make money. God did not put us in earth to do all these things that cater to our fleshly wants and desires. People that are led by the flesh, they're not the people that will reign and rule in the kingdom with Christ.
That's right. Well, we got a minute left. I'd like to say that appreciate you being on the broadcast and that we went a little bit into the past. We certainly look into the future. The purpose is not to establish programs, but to bring in his kingdom, do our part, and that's only done through the leading of the Holy Spirit. There's no other way.
We live in an exciting time because all the forces of hell are marshaled against us at this day. All have been gathered into earth for this final conflict between the truth of God's word and the lies of the seed of the serpent.
We pray that your spiritual ears have received today's message and that you are fed with strong meat relevant to solving the needs of our nation and Christian civilization everywhere.
Herald of Truth is sponsored by Kingdom Identity Ministries through the financial support and prayers of listeners like you who love the truth of God's Word and want to see it broadcast throughout the land to awaken His people. If you would like a
CD
of today's message, tell us the date and station to which you are listening and send a donation to cover our cost plus help with radio time to Kingdom Identity Ministries, Post Office Box 1021, Harrison, Arkansas, 72602. We would appreciate donations made by our international listeners to be in U.S. funds. For a free introductory packet of information, including our doctrinal statement of beliefs, plus lists of books and tapes to aid you in your study of biblical truth, write Kingdom Identity Ministries, Post Office Box 1021, Harrison, Arkansas, 72602, USA. Or request this material by calling 870-741-1119. That's 870-741-1119. Visit our internet website by going to www.kingidentity.com. Type www.kingidentity.com. We invite you to listen regularly to Herald of Truth broadcast for more dynamic messages proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom at this same time and station.